Hey, fighters, today on the Contract to Fight podcast, I have a conversation with Andrew Houston and Liam Marin from Profit for Contractors. They got a book coming out that goes through how you can ethically steal your competitors' people. Okay, now it doesn't mean you go up and go to their job sites and actually try to recruit them actively like that. That's not what we're talking about. We talk about some strategies and tactics to help you be so attractive that they want to come work for you. So hit the link in the show notes, go grab a copy of their book and learn something that you can implement that will give you an edge and help you find the people that I know you desperately need. So listen, I appreciate you guys. Let's dig into the interview. Andrew, Liam, welcome to the fight. What's going on, guys?
We're kicking ass up here in Canada, man. We're waiting for the snow to fall. But other than that, we're just pushing through, baby.
So we're early November right now. So when is the snow just dump all over you guys up there?
Probably in about a month.
About a month.
All right. That's cool. Yeah.
I was just picturing in my head, like when, you know, I've gotten into hunting. I'm like, when do I start to see those deer tracks? I'm like, it's about a month from now.
So it's not like we cross the Canadian border from the United States and it's like a wall of snow.
No, man.
It's not like that. Okay. That's how I always pictured it when I was a kid, to be honest with you. That and if you said Canada, I pictured snow and Dudley Do Right. So
nice.
We spoke at an event together in February in Toronto and there was like zero snow on the ground. I remember it was like dry as a bone.
But it was dark and cold and ugly.
Yes. Like, yes, that's true.
Just like Chicago or Cleveland. So anyway. Yeah. I'm in Colorado Springs and it's like sunny, like 320 days a year here. So even when it's cold, it's sunny.
Sounds nice. It is. We're moving to your spot, man.
There you go. Well, the mountains are nice. Listen, as I said in the intro, we're going to talk about your new book coming out. What's it called and what the hell's in it?
So this is what it's about, my man. It's how to steal your competitors' tradespeople. People are like, what? How do you do that? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Yep. But ethically, right? Yeah. I got at the bottom here, warning you, you know, either you get their top talent or they get yours. So we'll talk about that today, but that's the main premise is, you know, at the end of the day, the reality, you know, that I think all tradespeople are experiencing, number one reality is that it's a bitch to find and hire people, right? If you want to grow your contracting business, that seems to always be a struggle. Like, how the heck do I go and find these guys? How do I attract them? You know, how do I keep them? How do I build an A team? And one of the realities, you know, Tom, is I know you can agree with this, is, you know, the government hasn't done a freaking great job for the tradespeople out there pumping out and promoting, you know, new young blood coming into the stream. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is that after 10, 20, 30 plus years of that or more, you know, the contractors are really left to differentiate themselves from the competition so that, you know, they're seen as the A employer to attract, you know, the best of the talent. So that's what the book's about.
Yeah. So you kind of went where I was going. One of my questions was, you know, it's hard to find, let's just talk trade specific.
Yeah,
even before COVID and all that other bullshit, right? Like it was still, I mean, for years it's been tough. How did we get there? What do you guys think?
Oh, I mean, I think, like there's a really good podcast I listened to with this guy, Naval Ravikant, and he's like, COVID didn't cause these issues that we're dealing with. It just accelerated them. They're already going to happen. It just sped it up, right? It condensed the time frame. He's like the hiring epidemic, all this stuff. He's like, it was already well on its way, right? So I think like the democratization of labor being that like people could find out they could work from home and companies being like, oh, wait, we don't need offices and like we can save all this money and like have people work from home. It's like, great, right? Like that kind of sped things up. I think the generational demographic shift on, you know, right? Like all these people retiring, right? This mass exodus of guys, the old guard leaving, right? And all these new guys. And I think a lot of them going like, hey, I don't want to break my back and bust my balls for 30 years like my dad did, right? I'm going to go get a job in tech or doing whatever. And then I think the other thing is that like social media and society in general has made, you know, construction and like manual labor a dirty thing, right? There's been like a stigma that's been attached to doing work and doing trades that hasn't been good. So I think it's like, I don't know. I think it's a combination of factors personally, but I think those are the main ones.
Andrew, how old are you?
Oh, geez. So I'm 51, my man.
All right, I'm 52. And the reason I ask, and Liam, you're quite a bit younger, right?
Yeah, yeah. 34, turning 35.
So, Andrew, I just think back to when you and I were the same age. We were growing up, and we've seen like schools get rid of their shop classes and shit like that through the years and quit funding for it. I don't remember there ever being a big push to go to the trades. All I remember it being was, it's a good fallback option. Everyone should learn a trade, that sort of thing. And partially because, sadly, most contractors are tired, dirty, and broke at the end of every day because they haven't figured out that they're a fucking business person instead of a painter or whatever they think they are still. Absolutely. So I think, like Liam said, it's a combination of these things. But I mean, as long as I can remember, our governments, our nations, our cultures in each country here have been pushing, go to college, go to college. If you don't go to college, you're a loser, and all this other shit. Can't get wealthy being a contractor, blah, blah, blah. So reason I was excited to have you on here and talk about your book as well is it's time for home improvement contractors to say, you know, fuck that. We make money here. We have a good life.
Right. Absolutely. You know,
and all that 100%. Other stuff. And it's time to be the example for people so that we become a magnet.
Yeah. Bingo, man. Absolutely. I'm totally, you know,
100%.
As you were describing, you know, back in the day when you and I were in high school, and I remember, so I went through and I became an industrial controls licensed electrician. You know, I became an automation expert, all the rest of that kind of stuff. Oh, my own business, yada, yada, yada. But it's interesting. My father was a tradesperson. My uncle was a tradesperson. Brother was a tradesperson. And back in the day, I remember, I don't know what the school system was like for you, but there was like advanced, intermediate, and basic. And, you know, you would fall into one of these three categories, right? Mm-hmm. And I was in the advanced, and people would be like, I don't understand. Why are you going through for the trades, Andrew? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Well, that's really for the people that are like intermediate or basic. I mean, I'm like, wait a second. So you're telling me that becoming a tradesperson is for people that are stupid? I'd be like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You just like, so I'm on a mission. I know you're on a mission that's a bunch of bullshit. Okay. If there ever was a time for there to be a career where you can literally become, and I'm not saying becoming a millionaire is what it's about for everybody, but if you want to make a shit ton of money, okay, you want to get control of your life. If there's ever a business that you want to pick, owning a trades company, you are setting yourself up. Now, there's a lot of things you got to do. Like you said, you got to really be focused on becoming a business owner, not being a really good tradesperson on the tools. But the door is like, the door is there for gold.
Yeah.
Like, right? There's going to be, this is the greatest exodus in the next 10 years of businesses in the history of mankind. Okay. And one of the greatest areas where there's an exit is what? Contractors.
Trades.
Trades.
Yep.
So, you know, everybody's familiar with supply and demand. Any of your listeners, I'm sure you guys are. Okay. The demand is going to go through, the demand is already through the roof, and it's going to go even more so through the roof. Mm-hmm. So you got the ability to freaking print money, man. If you guys get your head in the right space, and that includes, you also have an incredible ability to find, attract, and hire and build an A team. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, on that note, I don't know, Tom, if you ever do this, but sometimes like when I'm looking at our clients' books, I'm like, fuck, man. I like these margins. Like, I want to get in your business.
Yeah.
I see what some of these guys are making. Sometimes I'm like, freaking how much? Like, what? And you're really not working. Like, damn, that's a good business.
Well, you know, you talk about the supply and demand thing. I'll tell you what, if you're just answer your phone. Let's just start with that. Like, seriously. Like,
oh my God, just show up.
Doesn't blow your mind. Like, you know, because we try to call different people for different things now and then. It's like, answer your fucking phone. Like, just pick the thing up. And everyone's like, oh, I can't afford an answering service, an office manager. I'm like, dude, you're leaving a couple million on the fucking table.
Totally.
Because you're being a cheap ass because you don't want to answer your fucking telephone. I mean, I'm thinking of a few people I know right now that now I'm going to say this because they're probably going to hear this. I'm not going to name them. All right. They're good men. They're really good men. They're working their asses off. They're owning their crap. They're trying to get better, but they're terrible fucking businessmen. They have no fucking idea what they're doing. And they're crushing it with the money right now because they answer their phone.
But it's hustlers, yeah.
Like, it's just, so even if you suck, like, you can still make money. Anyway, not
the. And with hiring too, right? You can actually not be the best and still hire people, which is the crazy part too, right? You need to pick up your phone, like you said. You know?
All right, so you talked about ethically stealing your competitors' employees.
Yeah.
I love that. We talk about it all the time in the fight about poaching. Right. And going about poaching. And this is not, I'm going to make an assumption, which I shouldn't do because it's right behind me on my sign. Don't make assumptions. Okay. but you're probably not saying, walk onto another guy's job site, hand him a business card and say, come work for me for another buck an hour. Like some people think.
Oh, unless they want to fucking have their nose rearranged. I don't know. I mean, if you did that to me back in the day, I mean, you know, you'd get your response. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, of course not. No, that's, you don't do that. No. You don't do that. But there's an ethical way about stealing, you know, the best talent from your competition. And we can get into that, man.
What's that look like?
So here's the reality, everybody listening. You know, when you look back, you know, and Tom, let me ask you this, right? Did you ever work in the trades for somebody at one point?
Yeah.
What were the top two or three reasons why you quit?
So I worked for my uncle for many years. He's a painting contractor. I was one of his women. And I quit because I didn't see a clear vision of how I can continue to
move
throughout my life. That was the reason.
Perfect. So, perfect. Now, did you ever work for people that were disorganized? It was chaotic. You know, they didn't fucking, talk about not even having a pathway for where your next level was. It was like, what are we doing this week? Like, does this owner even know what the fuck is going on here? Like, I'm standing around here in the shop and I don't even know which job site I'm supposed to be on, let alone I get to the job site. I don't get the right material. And then I got these fucking customers screaming at me because they're like, man, when are you going to get this job done? You're standing around, you know, not doing anything. And then you're always going to the supplier. And meanwhile, the tradesperson's like, I didn't create any of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate to that, Tom?
Yeah. And you know what we do is we say we quit and we say, oh, somebody offered me another buck an hour and we blame it on the money. Right. But it's not the money. It's the chaos.
You got it. So here's the ethical part of it. Everybody listening in. Tom, you and I are helping a shit ton of contractors out there. And the reason we're helping a shit ton of contractors out there is because there's a significant need to help people that are in the trades, that are, you know, entrepreneurs, right? They're owners of a business, but they do not know how to be a business owner. Mm-hmm. And the brutal reality is anyone listening into this podcast, hopefully you're getting help from Tom, okay? Hopefully you're getting help from us. Hopefully you're getting help in some form or fashion to truly become a business owner because nobody has ever taught you how to become a business owner. Mm-hmm. And so for the majority of contractors out there, that own their own business. I don't give a shit if it's painting. I don't care if it's new home renos. I don't care what it is. Because you have not been taught how to be a business owner, the reality is that you're running the business out of your fucking head. Mm-hmm. And when you're running it out of your head can only handle so much. And then it goes into chaos. Okay. And that chaos creates a chaotic environment. And you know what it's like. Every tradesperson worked for somebody at one point, either had one job, two jobs. I worked for like six different people and I quit for all the same reasons because every one of those fucking owners, it was a goddamn gong show. It was stress on me, stress on my family. It was stress on every single client that I had to engage with. Okay. And so what does this mean? It means that there are a ton of A-grade tradespeople that are out there that really want to work for an employer that has an A-grade environment. Mm-hmm. That's in control. That explains to them that there's a pathway for like what you were looking for, Tom. Hey, man, here's our pathway. Here's how we have we do reviews with you every 3 months. We want to know what your dreams are. We want to know what you want to achieve, all those different things. So all that this, you know, the majority of this book is about how do you go about not just becoming a business owner, but how do you have to get your mind in the right place to see through the eyes of these A-grade potential prospects, right? These potential hires that are literally dying to work for a contractor that has got this great environment that can actually help them achieve some of the personal and professional goals that they want. And that's what it's about, okay? So you know, that's ethical, right? I mean, if somebody's going to go and work for you, Tom, right? Let's just say back in the day when you had your contracting business, and they're going to come and work for you because, and the main reason is because it's a better environment. Guess what? That sounds pretty ethical to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, everybody's going, there's nobody out there. Nobody wants to work, blah, blah, blah. Like I guarantee you right now, whoever's listening to this, let's just say there's 10,000 people that work in your trade in your city right now, working for someone else. Okay. And let's just play the 80-20 rule that 20% of them are kick-ass, 2,000 of them. Yep. Okay. Out of those 2,000, my bet is about 70% of them, whatever that number is, are in an environment that they're not being fed. They're not being cared for. They don't feel safe. They feel like there's not a future. And they're good people. They're good tradespeople, blah, blah, blah. And so to say that nobody wants to work, there's a couple thousand, there's 10,000 or whatever it is, they're out there already working for somebody. And they're staying there because they don't know you exist.
That's it, bro.
So, can we talk about that, Tom? The mindset thing with hiring? Because I think I personally think the biggest thing plaguing contractors right now is the victim fucking mindset around hiring. No one wants to work. Everyone's lazy. The government made, you know, everybody stay home on welfare. You know, kids aren't working as hard these days. Like, you're a mindset guy. Can you please just squash this? Because that's actually the biggest thing, right? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. I'm never going to find anybody because I believe no one wants to work, right? But like, it couldn't be further from the truth. So like, how would you say to most contractors how to deal with that bullshit that they're drinking their own Kool-Aid, you know?
Well, it's what we say all the time in the fight, man. It's like, you got to own your crap. Number one, you need to get your own oxygen, take care of yourself, build you from the inside out, and then invest. Start with investing in the people that you have on your team right now. I mean, shit, we're having that conversation in my own company right now. Like I'm telling everybody right now, because I'm not above these issues as an owner in my business either, right? We all make fucking mistakes. Like one area that I've really realized recently that I've dropped the ball is I'm not giving my inner team, my own employees, my own teammates and this and that, my best in the sense of helping them reach their goals and this and that, because you know how it is. You guys know you're growing a business fast. Everyone's moving a million miles a minute. And this past week, I took some time to just pause and I was like, okay, what's the highest leverage thing I could do right now for the fight? It's to work on my own people.
That's right.
And right. So one of my partners, Steve, sold his business to his two top employees who both started as laborers a decade and a half ago. And now they own the company. He sold it for a few million. And he will tell you that he burned. Everyone's like, oh, you're lucky you got Andrew and Mike. They're awesome. And they bought your company. He's like, no, there was always an Andrew and Mike there. I was just too shitty of a leader for the first several years of my business to realize that I had to pour my heart into my people. So that's where I would tell somebody to start right now is, you know, you got guys that are showing up and they're working for you and this and that, and they're trying to do the right things and stuff. The worst thing you could do is blow them off. So every one of us has a kick-ass FW right under their nose in their own company if they would invest in them.
You know, and that brings it, you know, just this last little, people are like, how did you come up with some of these things on this book? This last part, and this is what you're speaking to. Either you get their top talent or
they're going somewhere.
Or they get yours.
Right.
Okay. So everybody listening in, Tom nailed it. You know, the place that you've got to build an A-grade environment is with the people that you have right now. Okay. And I mean, we can talk if you want, Tom, about some strategies for that. But, you know, you need to create, first of all, you got to have an A player mindset, right? And you're not, you know, the reason that you're the leader that you are is because you look yourself in the freaking mirror and go, hey, I'm not the first person I'm not going to bullshit is myself. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the very first person. Okay. And anybody listening in on this, you might not want to hear what I got to say. Honestly, personally, I really don't give a shit. Okay. Because the reality of the situation is that you've got to, first of all, focus in on you. Okay. And you've got to own that bullshit. which is if that environment of your company is bad, you, the owner, has to own that. The reason that is bad is because you've let it be bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. If there's shitty communication in your company, it's not, oh man, I can't find anybody. Nobody fucking knows how to communicate well. No, no, no. You're the owner.
Yeah.
That's why it's called ownership. Own your freaking ship, man. Yeah. Right. You need to own it and go, okay. Like Tom, right? You're like, now what's the best thing I can leverage? And that's it. It's like, I gotta engage with my team. So guys, think about this. How many people have you lost that were A players? How many did you lose?
Yeah, like the real name of the game is retention. It's not hiring. Right? That's the real curse and epidemic is keeping people.
Right.
Like that's what most guys don't realize. They think it's a hiring problem. It's not a hiring problem. It's a retention problem.
Well, it's the same. Think about how we coach people that there's money in your customer database with people who had already paid you, right? Like right. Everyone's out looking for new customers when you got a couple thousand people sitting here that are like 88% more likely to give you money again if you fucking would reach out to them and, you know, shit yeah. like that. And it, I think the same, Liam, like you're saying with your own team, like, man, you know, you got to build your business from the inside out. And that starts with you and then your culture and your people and so on. Then the rest of the fucking world. Absolutely. So what are some of these strategies you were alluding to a minute ago?
Well, let's break down some of these things. So if we're looking at, you know, there's sort of like four main components that we look at, where you look at, you know, how to find, how to attract, right? You got to know where the frick they are, right? This is like going hunting or fishing, right? Like, no point in putting the line in the water if you don't know the freaking fish are there. So yeah. you got to find them. You got to track them, right? You got to land them. Oh, is that it? No. Then you got to keep them. Yeah. But it's actually a reverse order, okay? So starting off with some strategies in as far as how to build an A team and keep them. The long and short is you've got to have a rhythm of communication. So in the book, it lays out a specific agenda for how, and a lot of you guys might be like, oh, money, you know, meetings are a waste of time. Well, her clients see meetings as massive money makers, okay? Yeah. Because, you know, we have what's called five top money making meetings, but we hone in on some of the ones that are the foundational principles of communication. Monday morning meeting, Friday reflection meeting, right? Making sure you're communicating to your guys exactly what defines winning, right? Like A players want to win, but you got to tell them, man, what is winning, right? Look, how many hours do I have for this job? And a lot of owners be like, I'm not going to share that. Well, then how do they know, man, whether or not they're on track or off track? So, you know, having very structured, purposeful meetings with your guys. Okay. So that there's a couple of simple strategies. And these are things that you could start when, I don't know, maybe next Monday, maybe fucking Friday, maybe like right now, tomorrow morning. Okay. And how much do they cost you? Guys, yeah, it's going to take time with your guys and things of that nature, but trust me, 1 hour is going to give you back a 10-to-1 ratio. And, you know, back to what Liam said, you know, use technology. Tom or me or Liam, we're not saying you got to get everybody to drive back from freaking, you know, San Jose to freaking, you know, Detroit to have a freaking team meeting. No, use technology, guys. Guys can be on the job site, they can be traveling, but you've got to communicate. So that's major when it comes to the culture of communication and building an A team. A couple other quick little ones is, you know, when we're looking at finding them, Tom, you alluded to it already. I mean, guys, type in the yellow pages or freaking Google if you're an electrical contractor or renovation contractor, how many other contractors are in your area that do what you do? There's tons of them. Okay. How do you attract them? Guys, you've got to speak the language of the prospect. What are the fears, frustrations, wants, and aspirations of these current people? And, you know, we already talked about some of these things, right, Tom? Like getting the fucking material on time, getting the right material, you know, properly being communicated to at a regular basis, having a future versus just a freaking paycheck. If you create a paycheck environment, then you're going to have people just there for the freaking paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to throw out here for people as an example, just to give them a tangible takeaway with this point that you just made, is speak the language. It's not like, let's just take one tactic of running an ad, right? You're going to run an ad and guys are like, oh, fucking ads don't work and stuff. It's because they're like painter wanted.
Yeah. Whatever. $18 an hour. Must have driver's license.
Yeah. Instead of that, consider, and the headline's everything. So if I were looking for an employee right now in a painting business or whatever, it doesn't matter. I would go painters, Tired of chaotic Mondays?
That's it. That's it.
That hits a chord. And then I'm not going to go, must be able to lift 50 pounds and all that other fucking stuff you jack off to in a job ad. Okay. I'm going to put in there, like, every day we hear from our employees how fired up they are to have order and a clear future and what's going on each week. And they have a plan for growth and blah, blah, blah. And if you're tired of being let down and never knowing what the next move is and blah, 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 hit the website, go to our careers page, which, by the way, everyone should fucking have one of those. And now you're good. Okay. So that's what we mean by you got to speak the language. You can't just go, you know, painter or carpenter wanted $30 an hour after 7 months of crawling on broken glass and proving yourself.
It's got to be about them, right? Like, honestly, think about this guy in today's world.
I've looked at so many job ads. Like,
oh my God.
Like, I want to throw up sometimes. I'm like, did you even put any effort into this? Yeah. Did you put any effort into this?
Yeah.
Like, did you put any, like, yeah, and here's the easiest hack for everybody listening, and you'll thank me later. I tell this to everybody because it never fucking fails. You want to hire people? What city are you in? You're a painter? You're in Denver? Great. Who are the top 10 painting contractors in Denver? Go to their fucking website. Go to their Instagram. Copy their job ad. Change 5 things on it. Repost it. It'll probably fucking work. Thank you. You're welcome. Goodbye. Right? Oh, that'll never work for me. Right? Because they're like clearly failing.
Feel like an artist.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What does Steve Jobs say? Good artist copy, great artist steal. It's like, guys, that's the mindset thing, right? It's like, well, no one wants to work. No one can hire. So nobody in your area is growing their business. Like, no other painters in your city are making money and growing? Really? None?
Now, you're the only one I love? First,
guys, listen, wherever you are in the world, wherever, whatever your trade is right now, I want you to know that nobody in your area
is doing well,
being successful right now at all.
No, nobody.
They're not hiring, they're not retaining, they're not making money, because it's just not possible.
No.
You know, it's so interesting, right? If people were able to see the success that your clients have and the success that our clients have, yep. I want you, anybody listening, I want to let you know that you can change, okay? It's never too late. Honestly, it's never too late, especially in a marketplace that is in such demand, okay? You don't even need to get this this is not about getting this exactly right. You get this honestly, half-ass, right? And you're going to crush the competition, right? Like, honest to God.
The bar is so low. Just like selling. It's the same thing. It's like when guys are like, oh, it's impossible to sell. It's like, guys, the bar is so low for sales as being a contractor. Like, again, no one gets back to people. No one even sends off the estimates. People are late for appointments. Like, you only have to be 10, 15% better. It's the same for hiring, right? Like, you don't have to be a rock star. You just have to be better than shit, which is not hard. You have to supply yourself, right?
But it's consistently like, good versus fucking, you know, erratically great. I mean, seriously, let's just go with consistently okay. You know, like, let's just start with that. So yeah, so that's really what the book is about. And it gives you guys specific strategies, things that have worked. Our clients have got bench warmers. I don't know if you guys know what bench warmers are, but again, coming from the realm of sports, they've got bench warmers. They've got people that are literally lined up waiting for them. That when, you know, the demand gets, you know, big enough and great enough that they're like, hey man, let me know and I'm freaking ready to come and work for you. Like, that's where you want to be. And just to let everybody know, that is totally possible. Like, you need to always be hiring. That's something else, you know, principle. Everybody listening.
Oh yeah, it's please.
Always don't be freaking doing the stupid marketing thing where it's like, okay, I need somebody right now. So now I'm going to start putting out ads. I mean, right, Tom? Like, seriously.
Who's available? Sales. Now, think about this for everybody. Listen, who's available right now?
Exactly.
Not the good people.
Not the good people.
Okay. Like, just go with that. Like, the worst time to hire is when you need somebody. It's like the worst time to go get a line of credit or a loan is when you need the money. Get it before you need the fucking
money. That's it. Dude, you know what I mean? Totally.
That's what your bench warmer thing is about.
That's it. Build up the bench warmers, man. And guess what? You know, here's the other thing. Never, never underestimate who's looking.
Yeah.
What do I mean by who's looking? Okay. Mm-hmm. The A players are always looking, but there's somebody else that's looking, sometimes even harder than them. Okay. It's called their partner. Their spouse is, they are the ones that are having to wreak the fucking havoc that when that, you know, the guy or girl tradesperson comes home and they're freaking stressed out, exhausted, had to work another freaking weekend unplanned and
hey, honey, dealing with
chaos.
Yeah. And there's an ad on Facebook, right? Right. ABC Electric's hiring. They offer paid vacation. They do 10-4s, right? They do like, oh, what? Like, yeah. Oh, I didn't, you know, like, yeah, 100%.
No, I think it's hilarious, right? How many clients have I talked to? And they're like, so tell me a little bit about some of the expectations that your team wants. And this one just makes me like, I just like shake my head. They're like, can you imagine that these guys, they want to go and play freaking like here, welcome to Canada, right? They want to go play freaking hockey. Like they want to leave early on Friday to go play pickup at like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, yeah. They're like, what do you mean? Yeah. Let me get this straight. So they're going to go play hockey, stay in shape, do something that they love. They're asking to be so that they can do this, like, you know, on Fridays at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that you can't work out something with them so they're allowed to have this work-life balance? They're like, I never thought about it that way. Oh, yeah, right. Like,
what is it? Help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. Zig, zig.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, that's. And I think this is, and I've made this mistake in the past where I've had people that work for me and I didn't even understand what their goals were and what they wanted to do down the road and what's important to them. And, you know, this is mastering the people game is really all it is, man. Just, you know, if you want to grow your business and build and keep a team and all the stuff you're talking about in your book, you gotta understand people, man, and how they tick. So
it's so, a human.
Yeah. Before you share where we get the book and stuff, each of you give me one takeaway for the audience on hiring. One thing you really want to hit them between the eyes with.
Go for it, Liam.
I think the biggest thing for pretty much everybody in our audience listening is to just wake up to the reality that most likely you're going to be hiring someone between the ages of like, let's say 18 and 40. Like that's a wide range, but like that's pretty much a demographic you're hiring, right? And if you don't get inside like their head, like Tom said, know the people you're marketing to in terms of like that demographic, right? You're going to fail. So what does that mean? It means if you're not embracing it right now, and maybe it's something you're not comfortable with, you don't have to do it. You need to be leveraging social media, right? And like getting on video and like getting Instagram and getting Facebook, because guess what? Those people, 18 to 35, 40, right? Them and their partner, like Andrew said, spend probably what? 90% of their time, like their free attention span on their phone. That's where you're going to market to them, right? So if you're unwilling to do that or scared of it, right? You're going to lose it on hiring because you're like, it's like you're going to a knife with a gun, or you're going to a gunfight with a knife, and you're just going to fail every time.
Yeah. I like that. And let me throw on that. When you're on socials, I'll just use the painter example. If you're looking for a painter, don't show a guy holding a paintbrush, you know, cutting in a ceiling line. Show a guy pulling a trigger on a spray gun, because it's just cooler. You know what I mean?
Cool, like cool shit.
Every trade has cool shit in it.
Yes.
Show them the sizzle, right?
Not the steak, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so like that's where, I mean, we're creative, man. We're business owners, we're tradespeople, we're craftsmen, you're designers, you're whatever you are. You have all these ideas. Do that with the way that you promote on social media as well. So Andrew, how about you, man?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when you're looking at this through the right set of lenses, I want you to think about this in two parts. One is, why wouldn't you want to have the best environment? Mm-hmm. Starting with yourself, right? If your employees are happy, you're going to be happy. Right? If your employees are, you know, happy with their environment, they're going to be willing to work to make you profits, right? And get your profits to pay for your freedom. And the other part of this is your competition. Mm-hmm. Your competition, you know, I want you to put on the right set of lenses that look at your competition as they are your best fucking friend. When it comes to hiring people and finding people, they are your best friend in the sense that the more chaotic, right, the more that they're growing out of control, the more that, you know, they don't have a pathway for their clients. They are your best friend because they are basically setting up their A players to come to want to work for you. Your job, okay, is quite simple. Make it the place that when they listen to it, when they read it, wherever they see it on social media, in the paper, wherever that they go, that's where I want to work. Okay. And that it's really not that difficult, but your competition really is your best friend when it comes to finding and attracting freaking A players. So thank them, because I guarantee you, the last little question is to ask yourself this. where the fuck did the last hire come from? Mm-hmm. And I think I know what the answer is. I think you do too. Okay. We just need to make sure that they're thinking of you when they're thinking of like, where is the best place for me to work? Because this definitely isn't the spot. Oh, wait a second. It's that guy's place, which needs to be your place.
Yeah.
That's my biggest one right there.
Good shit, man. I love it. Well, guys, where somebody wants to get the book, they want to check it out, where they go?
So, Tom, we're going to drop a link to where they can get the book and we can put it in like the YouTube video. They can just click on it. Yep. That work?
Yeah. Get us a link. We'll get it in all the show notes and all that stuff. We're good.
Yeah. They can go to contractorhiringmastery.com. Okay. And basically what you guys will be able to get is the early bird special. This baby's being launched, like basically coming out off print in the next week and a half. So you guys will get on. Yeah. You guys will get on the list. And then, you know, you're already set up to get it along with those that get on the list, get some complimentary training and some complimentary tools and templates and shit like that, that the book talks about.
Contractorhiringmastery.com.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So you're a contractor, you know, you're focusing on hiring and you want to master it. So contractorhiringmastery.com. Go there. You guys can get the book.
Well, dude, I appreciate you guys being on, sharing a little bit about this. Thanks for writing the book because it's needed. Every damn contractor needs it. More of us that are helping bring eyeballs to the industry and the benefits of it and stuff, the better it is for everybody, man. So I appreciate that.
For sure, man. They deserve it.
Awesome,
they
guys.
They deserve the help.
Have an awesome day, you guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, bro. Ciao.
All right, everybody, hit the show notes. Give us a review. Share this with somebody else. You guys rock. I got to roll. Travis, bring in the guitars. We'll see you motherfuckers next time.